safe as houses. Podcast number 13. Hope you don't suffer from triskaidekaphobia. Another unlucky number, 30, shows up in today's story. Listen for it. So, the basic setup is Sally Yan and Lavinia are now traveling and living together in Lavinia's old camper, which qualifies as a home in this world where vampires clot every corner but cannot enter a home. And today, no big adventures, just a cozy interlude, people stuff, my favorite kind of story. Sally and Lavinia, safe at home. "People still try to go outside nights," Lavinia snorted from behind the New York Times. "Yeah," Sally joked. "What jerk faces. You never know what kind of psychopaths you'll meet." She was trying not to talk exactly like her lover, who most emphatically would not have said jerk faces. The violet eyes, framed by reading glasses, appeared twinkling over the top of the paper and gave her a mock severe glare. "I meant people we didn't already know were crazy. Look at this." She folded the paper and held it so Sally could see the story. She read about Calvin Frederick, who had somehow acquired a space suit and tried to wear it for a walk around the block. You would think that vampires couldn't penetrate a space suit, even though it was not a home. But witnesses, safely inside, said the vampires had simply piled onto the space suit until it couldn't move. They had ripped the oxygen bottles loose, smashed the helmet 100 times against the sidewalk until the unbreakable plastic broke, slashed at the suit with anything sharp from blocks around, and finally crushed it with their weight, crushing many of their own in the process. When the wreckage had been found in the morning, only twisted, broken scraps of metal and plastic had remained. There was not an ounce of flesh or a drop of blood. Even the bodies of the crushed vampires who had been on the bottom of the pile, they'd all been consumed. "That's nothing," Sally remarked. "I read they've sent tanks against the vampires. They still break in." It was a mild May Sunday morning, and they were side by side in the camper's bed, a brunch tray between them. Lavinia had been right that a place called Casper's Challah made the best bagels on the planet, and Sally, a mushroom Benedict kind of brunch person, had happily consumed 2 onion bagels with herbed cream cheese, red onions, and lox. "I'm having brunch in bed with my lover, and we're talking about the news," Sally thought, delighted. She still intended to hunt vampires, eventually. She'd worked hard enough to train herself, but for now she was thriving on the love of this woman. In the 2 weeks since the night they'd met, Lavinia had driven them from place to place in the old Greencomber camper. She'd done all the driving while Sally had allowed herself to lean adoringly against her side. They had stopped at both Sally and Lavinia's apartments to grab clothes, kitchenware, books and CDs, and food. Sally had been thinking about getting a cat, and now she was glad that she hadn't. When Sally had tentatively gone back online, not only was there no fallout from Bunt's death, she herself had gained a following. More than one idiot had asked when she was going to start hosting home runs, now that Bunt wasn't around to host them anymore. She shuddered. Lavinia felt the shudder, and without putting down the newspaper, put her arm around Sally and pulled her close. Sally sighed, leaned against Lavinia's shoulder, and closed her eyes. She thought of the morning after their first night together. They'd pulled on the only clothes they had with them then, swung open the cupboard-lined back doors, and stepped out into a cold morning quivering with dew. Ignoring the dozens of footprints on the ground, looking only at the bejeweled spider web, which was invisible a few steps later, and the veil of mist across the trees, and the single black bird coasting through the white sky. They'd walked side by side. She had snuck a look at Lavinia in the morning light and seen the wrinkles around her eyes, the gray hairs among the raven black. Her body still floated from the night just past, but she had felt an instant of buyer's remorse. She's got to be 25 years older than me, she thought. It would turn out that she was exactly right. And then she'd blushed furiously because Lavinia had caught her looking, and with raised eyebrow seemed to know her exact thoughts. Hastily she had covered by asking Lavinia about her leather jacket with the crow emblem, a shining black bird whispering into a stylized ear. In the better light, she could see that there were flames in the background, all beautifully rendered in colored leather and tiny hand-stitched letters. But Lavinia had seemed reluctant to talk about it.
Bought it back when I was in Germany. From this older hippie Ledermacher with an eye patch. Claimed he dated Hanna Shigula before she worked with Fassbinder.
She shrugged and seemed embarrassed.
Fell in love with it.
Sally wondered if Lavinia had slept with the guy. No law said Lavinia had to decide her sexual preference at birth and stick to it. But she had let the matter drop, since she'd had her own embarrassing secret at the moment, that she had been with lovers of both genders, and also since she hadn't wanted to admit that she didn't know who Hanna Shigula was when she prided herself on being a 27-year-old who did not need any pre-1990 reference explained to her. So instead she'd asked about Lavinia's wonderful lavender smell. Lavinia had grinned and said, "Tom's of Maine."
Now, next to Lavinia, with the brunch tray between them, Sally reached up and, with the hand which had killed vampires, stroked Lavinia's face as she read the Times. She was rewarded as the light of those amazing violet eyes, really a deep, deep blue, Lavinia had told her, because true violet eyes are only found on albinos. Those eyes turned on her, and Lavinia laid down her newspaper. Her strong hands moved the brunch tray aside and captured Sally's smaller hand, held it still. Sally felt her heart beat faster. They were going to make love again. Lavinia was dressed in her old soft cotton nightgown, and she, Sally, was naked, and that was just how she wanted to be. She waited for Lavinia to say words which would stoke her fire.
"Say it," Lavinia told her very quietly, letting go of her hand.
"Master of all masters," Sally breathed, the embarrassingly forbidden title which Lavinia had commanded her to reveal and which she had allowed to be forced out of her. Lavinia's crow tracks and gray hairs somehow made Sally even more turned on. Holding perfectly still, she looked with longing and passion into her lover's eyes. "I still can't believe that you're mine," those eyes said, even as they blazed into hers. And then Lavinia said, "Lay back on your elbows. Arch that beautiful body and lay exactly, absolutely still." Sally did just that, body quivering from the stress of holding that position, feeling the cool of the air against her crinkling, dripping vagina. Eyes never leaving Lavinia's, all thoughts on hold, a warm extension of her lover's will. She felt as free as she'd ever felt. But when they were satiated, full, Lavinia honored Sally's first demand that she wanted to be bossed around only in the bedroom. And she stopped dominating, instead kissing Sally, stroking her damp, shining body. Lavinia said in a casual tone, "So, babe, what's your pleasure now, huh?" "Cuddling? Napping?"
Sally said. "Another bite or two of bagel? And then," she flung her arms wide,
"I don't know! Whatever! Ha ha!"
Lazily kissing Lavinia, she drifted on sweet water. She floated through the house she'd shared with Callista,
the other great love of her life, in the sweet time before the fighting and the secret affairs. She kissed Callista, adored the red and blue streaks in her hair and the fresh young body with no pot belly and no wrinkles. The bedroom was more richly ornate than it had really been. But a red envelope with an unlucky 30 coins was by her bedside, and a masked vampire was trying to get into the house. In terror, she slipped right through Callista's arms, because Callista hadn't been there when Sally was a little girl, and she floated through the ceiling, into the attic, and there she saw with relief a little fairy woman with gossamer wings. She was the guardian spirit of the house. Because of her, everyone in the house was safe from the vampires outside. She was about the size of a cat or a small, small child, and she cocked her head as though she was listening to a voice from above. And then she said, "And therefore, you may come in. Welcome!" An evil white form slipped in through a crack in the roof. Sally jerked awake, heart pounding with the confused thought, how can you be safe from vampires if your own guardian spirit invites them in? But Lavinia was sitting up with her paper again, and the dream faded as Lavinia said, "Hey, kid, here's something we might want to check out. Probably going to get themselves all killed, though." She held the folded paper for Sally to see, but Sally, still disturbed by the dream, folded herself around Lavinia's thighs. "Later," she said, rubbing her face against Lavinia's warm skin. "Later." This story is copyright 2013 by Michael Litsky. The music is by Chris Zabriskie. For the print version of this story, and plenty more, please visit my website, www.fictionandmore.com. Next week, I begin Volume 2 of Safe as Houses. Volume 2 is called Outside, and we'll have Chapter 1, The Rally. See you then.